Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is our final show of the work week, but there is no mailing it in. There is no getting out of Dodge without maximum effort. Next 4 hours are jam-packed. And here's why I love these 4 hours. It's really a precursor to what's about to happen over the next 7 weeks or so. It gets nutso in the spring. Now, I know it doesn't feel like spring all over the United States. There are some places, of course, some parts of our great country where it definitely is warm and springy. For instance, in Florida, TPC Sawgrass, where the Players' Championship is taking place, golf's first major. It's very confusing. They've actually changed the dates on the Players' Championship this year. But the spring weather is not pervasive around the entire United States. So some of us may feel like, wait a minute, it's not spring. Except in sports, oh yeah, spring has sprung. Everything from the final weekend of college basketball leading into the selection show, which is Sunday, and then we will have our selection show here on CBS Sports Radio, to the final stretch runs for both the NBA and the NHL and teams attempting to make their final moves, jostling and jockeying for position, and that includes game winners, to Major League Baseball tinkering with its rules and its formats and its this and its that as we get set for opening day and opening night and then opening day again. It's one of my favorite times of the year. And of course, as we talk about springtime and we're into March, it's the beginning of the NFL new year and all kinds of introductions being made, name tags being applied on Thursday. Jesse James, by the way, is very happy to be away from the Steelers drama. Who knew? Isn't he the one that called them the Kardashians of the NFL? He coined the phrase, and then he got out of Dodge. So there's a lot to talk about over the next 4 hours. I look forward to yakking with you. So you want to find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. If you haven't yet joined the After Hours Bracket Challenge, easy to do. My mom said to me on the phone tonight, wait, we have the brackets already? No, mom. There is a bracket, but the selection show is Sunday. So she was asking, she doesn't want to miss her chance to fill out the family bracket. We do a family bracket challenge every year. And typically it's someone who has nothing to do with sports who ends up winning, which is pretty typical of this term, this madness that we look forward to all year long. It really is some of the best 3 weeks in sports, these next few weeks leading up to the Final Four, which this year is in Minneapolis for the men. And so we've got our conference tournaments that are taking place, and it's a good reminder that you have a few days now to get set for what's to come. So bracket challenge, it's pinned to the top of our Twitter page, After Hours CBS, or our show Twitter page. And then we've also got it pinned to the top of our Facebook page. I've retweeted it multiple times over the course of the day, and I'll keep doing that so that you have your opportunity right in front of you to join us. So make sure you do that. Obviously, by next Thursday, you'll be out of time. It's that close. March Madness is here. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. There's some good audio on this edition of the show. Brandon Bean, the Buffalo general manager, giving you the punch back. If you don't know what you're talking about, then don't talk about Buffalo. I like it. The owner of the Utah Jazz comes out with very strong words and very strong sentiments about the incident that took place earlier this week with the fan and Russell Westbrook. Le'Veon Bell introduced in New York. Nick Foles introduced in Jacksonville. Terrell Suggs introduced in Arizona. Anthony Barr admits Monday was the worst day of his life. So a lot of great football sound, plus Cleveland general manager John Dorsey on why they went out and got Odell Beckham Jr. And so we'll get to all the football sound, as well as one monster Spidey dunk in the NBA. Awesome stuff. All over the place in sports, really. But if you haven't seen the Spida Mitchell, the Donovan Mitchell baseline dunk in the fourth quarter of Utah's win tonight, it was monstrous. Maybe the dunk of the year? We'll draw the line at dunk of the century. But yeah, we're going to get to everything as much as we possibly can. Biggest story on this night, though, Zion Williamson is back. He returns for the Duke Blue Devils in the quarterfinals of the ACC tournament. In one word, dominant.
Cross court, it's Boeheim in on Reddish. The longer player forced the pass, and now a steal by Zion. And a run out, and a right-handed rack attack that sends this place into a frenzy. And then tried the lead pass, and that was taken back by Syracuse, but it's high in the air. Jones a lob to Barrett to Zion! Flying in to rock the rim! Reddish back for Zion, top of the key. Thought about a three instead. Reddish on the right. He'll take it. It won't go. Zion got the rebound, put it off the window, count it, and a chance for three. He is taking over here in Charlotte. Zion has it deep in the right corner. Nearly lost it. Had to bounce it out for Barrett. Now for Jones, into the post, and Zion cutting through, put it off the window and in. A spectacular finish, falling away to the left. Here's Jones on the left for three again. That one short. Zion on the offensive board, puts it off the left window for two more. Zion's got 29.
Oh, I was so captivated. Yes, Zion Williamson, the Duke power forward, center, point guard, wing player. The guy had a steal and a full court breakaway for a right-handed cock back the arm, slam it home, monster dunk. In his first half, returning for the first time since February 20th, remember the shoe blowout? He had 21 points and was a perfect 9 for 9 from the field. He finished up 13 of 13 in his return, and with the 29 points also has 14 rebounds. David Shoemate with the calls on the Learfield IMG College Network. In case you're wondering, the shoe that he blew out against UNC going back to February was the Nike Paul George. Tonight, he was wearing the modified, I'm assuming they modified it just for him. When you're a Zion Williamson, Nike will do that. The modified Kyrie 4s.
I wanted to be out there every game. You know, I see my brothers out there battling, and I just wanted to go to war with them. There was no question about it. I knew I was going to be back. Everybody has their right to their own opinion, but I knew I was coming back the whole time.
You could see the electricity and the extra energy that his team had. Now, of course, they've still got great stars like RJ Barrett, who also had 20-plus points. But to have this guy dominate in the lane, it's not just the defensive rebounds he pulls down. It's also the fact that he is not impossible, but difficult to box out on the offensive end. And so over and over again, he's essentially the garbage collector. The stuff that gets thrown up there on the rim, well, you know, you've got Zion who's going to pick it up in case it spills off the rim and doesn't drop through. And for Coach K, for the Duke Blue Devils, it feels like this is the team that we saw play for most of the year.
Obviously really pleased to advance. We still don't have our full team back, but getting Zion back after missing almost a month is huge. I thought we played great defense for about 12, 14 minutes in the first half. And then when we had some transition, we had about three in a row where we made mistakes. We had a 15, 17 point lead, and that gave them some momentum. And then they can shoot. And they put a lot of game pressure on us, and our guys responded in the second half.
So Coach K and the Duke Blue Devils do get some pressure from the Syracuse Orange in the ACC quarterfinals. However, Duke pulls away for the second time and wins 84-72 to move on to the semifinals against rival UNC. And I love this not only for us as fans, but because we get to have this full game, we hope, with Zion on the court against the Tar Heels. And I'm happy for him, too, because he missed all but 1 minute of their regular season rivalry. So remember, it was on Wednesday night. It was a Wednesday night. And it was there inside Cameron Indoor Stadium. And not even a minute in, he has the blowout with his shoe. And he's out the rest of that game and obviously missed the season finale at Chapel Hill. And so he didn't have a chance to play in either one of those regular season games against UNC, one of the greatest rivalries in college sports and all of sports, really, for the fire, the intensity, the familiarity that breeds contempt. We love this rivalry. And this was one of the reasons why he wanted to go to Duke. He wanted the full Duke experience. And so now, even though it's a game in Charlotte, you can imagine there will be fans for both teams jammed into the arena on Friday, and Zion will have his Duke UNC moments, better moment than what we saw when he injured his knee. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. In case you're wondering, UNC, well, we knew UNC, UNC, UVA, and Florida State are also advancing to the ACC Final Four. And it's craziness over the next couple of days of the conference tournaments as more and more automatic bids are secured. And in the case of a team like, say, a Syracuse, now it's about the waiting game. The Orange were without their leading scorer for their second straight game, Tyus Battle. He has a back issue. But will 20 wins and an appearance in the ACC quarters be enough to get them into the tournament? So the waiting begins for those teams that did not secure automatic bids and aren't sure if their resumes will be enough. Well, coming up, we'll transition a little bit to the NBA. A game winner in Denver. The dunk of the year? ? In Utah. But that comes after the owner of the Jazz makes a very strong statement, standing out there on the court with a microphone to the fans inside her arena, after what happened with Russell Westbrook earlier in the week. So a lot happening. Love to hear from you on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Jazz on the offensive side. They swing it to the left baseline. Here comes Donovan. He rises high with the right hand. Here comes the boom. Donovan Mitchell gliding in the air for a right-hand dunk. And the Jazz lead at 111-94.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I tweeted the video of this dunk with Donovan Mitchell in Utah. It was, well, it was monstrous. And it was gorgeous. And it was late in the fourth quarter of Utah's game on Thursday night against the Minnesota Timberwolves. Now, it maybe didn't have the drama as the Nuggets finish against the Mavericks that we'll get to here coming up, but it was pretty amazing. Why shoot the three when you can drive the baseline and jam it home? Much higher percentage shot with so much of a flair for the dramatic for Donovan Mitchell. So really impressive moment for him and for the Utah Jazz as there, as I say, lots of jostling right now in the Western Conference. So the top five teams in the West are separated by a total five games. The top eight teams in the West, listen to this, the top eight teams in the West, all of whom will make the playoffs, right? So you take the best eight records, they're all separated by just eight games. Eight games total among eight teams. That's insanity. With now 14, 15 games remaining, this is going to be a lot of fun to watch. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Again, you can see that dunk with Donovan Mitchell on my Twitter, A-Law Radio. And we'll talk a little more about the other happenings in the NBA, like that game-winning shot for the Denver Nuggets as they keep close guard on the Golden State Warriors. And the Warriors aren't running away with the Western Conference top seed by any stretch of the imagination. But while we're talking about Utah and while we're in Utah, which is where they hosted the Timberwolves, prior to the game, the owner of the Jazz, Gail Miller, grabbed the microphone and addressed fans. And she had very strong sentiments, which I appreciate, about the Russell Westbrook situation. Remember, he threatened to F up a fan and his wife. The fan was heckling him from the third row. And according to Westbrook, as well as other eyewitnesses, so this is not just Russ's side of the story, but eyewitnesses around this fan, the fan made a racist comment about get on your knees like you used to. And that's what set Russ off. Now, the NBA did fine Russ the $25,000, but the Jazz banned this fan from the arena for life.
I am extremely disappointed that one of our, quote, fans conducted himself in such a way as to offend not only a guest in our arena, but also me personally, my family, our organization, the community, our players, and you as the best fans in the NBA.
There has been talk over the last couple of days that this type of thing happens in Utah all the time and that these fans are so racist. And I disagree with those types of sentiments about any place in our country. Yes, you're always going to have people who are prejudiced and racist because we are an imperfect people, and they're always going to be people who have those, I mean, I think they're disgusting, those despicable types of prejudices. However, it does not represent the entire Utah fan base. It doesn't represent the entire, let's say, Boston fan base when a Red Sox fan is calling a visiting player in the outfield the N-word. It doesn't represent the entire, I'll just pick one of these instances that I remember in the last couple of years, Blue Jays fan base when you've got one guy who's throwing a bottle on the field during a baseball game. Okay, so there are going to be these types of idiots in every arena, in every stadium, in every ballpark, and very often the alcohol that they've been consuming has a lot to do with it. Is it any excuse? Absolutely not. If you can't hold your liquor, you shouldn't be drinking like that. And I appreciate that the Jazz took this step and they went ahead and they banned this guy for life.
This should never happen. We are not a racist community. We believe... We believe in treating people with courtesy and respect as human beings.
And so again, that's Utah Jazz owner Gail Miller, and you can hear the crowd reacting when she says, we're not a racist community. It's unfortunate because people then pile on, and again, this happens periodically. These types of incidents, they pop up in cities all over the country. But it's ridiculous and unintelligent to brand an entire city, forget fan base, based on the actions of one person. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Just while we're talking about this, I know that there have been many NBA players who've weighed in. I thought LeBron's comments were very thoughtful earlier in the week. And for whatever reason, Kyrie Irving was talking about it following the Celtics victory over the Kings on Thursday night.
It's funny, man. It's just funny because I'm sorry. This is just because it happens so often and it just most of the time it doesn't get documented. I think this one's the first time that it actually got caught on camera and you caught a player responding like that on camera.
I don't know that it's the first time, but it certainly was prominent and it went viral on the internet like wildfire, right? It just spread. I remember we were coming in here to prep and I had some other ideas for how I would start the show and how the show would go. And then I see this video of Russell Westbrook, which again, caught on camera by someone who was right there on the corner. So it was an up close and you can get the audio of him screaming back at this fan and exactly what he's saying. And this fan had his 15 minutes of fame and he did an interview denying that any of this was ever expressed the way that Russ took it and that Russ was misunderstood, which again, I knew there would be players who would back up Russ, but also fans. All the Jazz had to do was contact some of the fans who were in that same area, and they were going to get the true story, because fans have no reason to protect this guy who was ruining their experience on that. Was it Monday night, Tuesday night? I don't remember now. I knew they would get the whole story at some point. And if this guy is up in the upper deck, as some of you pointed out, this type of thing doesn't become front page news. But it did. And the fact that players, athletes have to deal with it wherever they go, maybe should be an issue, and maybe should be one of these things. And I know we hear arenas, they'll make announcements every now and then. In fact, I think it was before the Toronto game tonight, they were making an announcement about the fans and how they should act. Toronto is hosting the Lakers tonight. And so it's something that arenas are cracking down on, but the more you have cell phone cameras, the more you have these types of things getting caught on video or being put on social media, well, then it gives the arenas, the teams, a chance to crack down.
I've heard it all, man. Like, Utah and, you know, Phoenix and California, however you want to go, like, fans are going to be passionate about their teams, but that's just taking it too far. And then on top of it, in Utah, the fans are right on top of you. So their fans are, like, literally in the bleachers.
So Kyrie Irving with his comments, and I'm not really sure why he was still talking about it. Someone must have asked him. But Utah owner Gail Miller almost sounded like she was shaking. She was so emotional and passionate in defending her city and her fan base, but also in decrying what was an embarrassing moment for the Jazz and for Salt Lake City earlier this week. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Coming up, we've got a game-winning shot for the Denver Nuggets as they are trying to track down the Golden State Warriors for the top seed in the West. And John Dorsey speaks out about the Odell Beckham Jr. signing and the homework he did before deciding to make this trade. You can find me on Twitter, but also find our After Hours Bracket Challenge on our show Twitter. It's pinned to the top of that page, After Hours CBS Plus on our Facebook page. Thanks so much for tuning in. We're heading toward Friday. Friday.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Jokic behind the three-point line, drives on Powell to the free throw line. Turn around, spin, jump shot.
Got it at the horn! Game winner, Nikola Jokic buries the Dallas Mavericks. And Pepsi Center crowd is freaking loud, man. Holy cow, what a win!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The reaction of Luka Doncic when Jokic buried that shot at the buzzer to give the Nuggets the win, one that they need if they have any designs on catching the Golden State Warriors atop the Western Conference standings. But the reaction of Doncic, bent over, disbelief on his face, that's the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat as the Nuggets are celebrating and mobbing Jokic. And then you have just the look of, as I say, disbelief, but disgust on the face of the rookie. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Jason Kosmicki with that game winner by Nico Jokic. And he took the inbound and he dribbles. So he takes the inbound straight away around the three-point arc, dribbles down to the free throw line, turns toward the middle, then turns back toward his right shoulder. And he puts it up one-handed while he's falling away. It was brilliant. It was all about the body control and, of course, about the pressure and the drama in that moment. So it was pretty cool to see how the Nuggets continue to be one of the surprise teams of this season in the NBA. I just put up a question on Twitter, and I'll put it up on Facebook, too. I stumbled across this while I was reading before the show. But there are only 5 NFL teams who can appear on Hard Knocks this season, according to the rules, and I may miss one or two of the rules, but there are a bunch of rules. For instance, you can't have appeared in the playoffs in the last 2 years. You can't have been on the show in the last 10 years. There was one more in there too. Oh, you can't have a first-year head coach, which that's kind of interesting. I might want to see a Hard Knocks with a first-year coach because you get a chance to get to know him. But anyway, it narrows it down to 5 of the 32 teams. Lions, Raiders, Giants, Niners, Redskins. So sorry, Browns fans, you're not going to get the Browns and OBJ. He left the Giants at the wrong time. But the Lions, the Raiders, who now have Antonio Brown, plus an animated John Gruden always, as well as Derek Carr, and I think he and Antonio Brown couldn't be more opposite, but they're certainly bonded together by this common goal that they've got. Giants, with an Eli Manning that you know loves the camera. The Niners, maybe as Jimmy Garoppolo attempts to come back from his knee injury, or the Redskins, who now have a Landon Collins and Adrian Peterson, a quarterback controversy, so to speak, the other Gruden as the head coach. So I was asking you on Twitter and on Facebook, which is the team that you would like to see next season? If you're a big fan of HBO Hard Knocks, which team would you like to see? A-Law Radio, and then also After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. The dust is settling a little bit in the NFL new year. Not completely. The fun now is to hear from all of these guys who have signed new deals or been traded, or to kind of get the backstory on why things played out the way that they did. We'll talk about the Browns getting Odell Beckham Jr. in a second, but in order to fill that void, the Giants signed Golden Tate to a 4-year deal, $37.5 million for him. Now think about his journey over the last year. He goes from the Lions to the Eagles and now stays in the NFC East with the Giants. 30 years old, don't tell me. He caught the game-winning touchdown from Nick Foles to beat the Bears in Wild Card Weekend, right? So he had his big moment with the Eagles, and now he moves on to the New York Giants. Again, 4 years, just shy of $38 million. He had, in the course of playing 15 games, had 800 yards and 4 touchdowns. And so that is a good experienced target for Eli Manning. Now, does he have the same speed, explosiveness maybe as an Odell Beckham Jr.? No, he's a few years older. But you got to have somebody to throw the ball to, and so that's important. They felt like they could get him for the right price. So that's one move that was made. I also saw Jordy Nelson got released by the Raiders, which makes sense. But I couldn't help but wonder if the Packers would be interested in bringing him back. I know he's older now, and he's had some injuries and a lot of mileage, but certainly that was one move that the Packers made last year that Aaron Rodgers absolutely hated and was talking about with a sour face. And I think Packers fans were too, to start last season. But on to OBJ. John Dorsey making his first public comments since the trade that brought Odell Beckham to Cleveland and set Browns Nation on fire. He traded a first round pick, a third round pick, and starting safety Jabril Peppers. And I know it's not just the Odell Beckham Jr. move that has shown his aggressiveness and his plan to put together a contender in Cleveland. It's really, I think, long overdue, but at least the Haslam family, the owners of the Browns, gave the reins to the right guy. So to have John Dorsey with all of his experience, with this, again, this plan that he put together for how they were going to draft, how they were going to build, the money they had under the cap, they've got the draft picks. The moves he's made so far would indicate that they're on the right path, just shy of having a winning season. And what about Odell Beckham Jr.? Could this derail everything? Or could this be a move that puts the offense over the top? What about the fact that he wore out his welcome in New York?
We do our research on every player that becomes a Cleveland Brown. And with regards to Odell, listen, he's a very passionate, competitive guy who's going to help this football team.
A very passionate, competitive guy who's going to help this football team. Well, you certainly can look at those as very positive qualities. They are passionate and competitive. The problem is, at times, they have carried OBJ down a dark path and to the dark side, so to speak. However, I understand why the Browns made the move.
We always do our preparations on hypotheticals, and we always brainstorm and try to see if certain scenarios will unfold. But, you know, this particular trade really didn't transpire until, I think, early Tuesday evening, late Tuesday afternoon.
I think he's in the kitchen. He's chopping something on a cutting board while he's talking to the media on a conference call. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. I definitely feel like it's a soft landing spot for Odell Beckham because of Jarvis Landry, because of his former receivers coach. However, there's a lot of mouths to feed. I said this earlier in the week. You have so many weapons now for the Browns and for Baker Mayfield to try to distribute the football. And that's best for the Browns because that's how you keep opposing defenses guessing. Will that be an issue for Odell Beckham, or will this be a situation where he's content because he feels like, I mean, I don't know how you could not think the Giants wanted you with the big fat contract they gave you, but that the Browns went out and got him and that they want to make him a premier receiver and that they're going to be a contender. I think you could get an OBJ who was content if all of those things were happening, but it still feels like he's a powder keg, although Dorsey doesn't agree.
You can't have enough competitive football players, and we all understand the magnitude of his ability to play the game football, and he's a good football player, and you can't have enough weapons around you, and you know, he's a really good asset to have on our football team.
It certainly is the philosophy that the Golden State Warriors ascribe to. You cannot have enough good players, enough weapons on your team. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So John Dorsey making his first comments after the trade for Odell Beckham Jr. We haven't heard from Odell yet, but I assume at some point we will. And there are press conferences going on all over the NFL now to introduce new acquisitions. Next hour, we'll hear from Nick Foles and Tom Coughlin in Jacksonville after his not only poignant goodbye to Philadelphia. If you didn't see it, I actually liked the link to his column, his love letter that he wrote to the Eagles on the Players Tribune. But it's worth reading. There's a lot of wisdom, a lot of experience there. And that was just one unique situation for him with Philadelphia. It took everybody on the same page, everybody working toward getting him as comfortable as possible, but also it took him stepping up. It took his teammates agreeing to work with him and buying into the changes to the offense when he took over for Carson Wentz. I mean, it's the stuff that dreams are made of, but it's also a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. And who knows if we'll ever have another situation like that, right? So I would say read it for sure, especially if you're an Eagles fan. But I'm excited for him to have a new lease on life. So you've got these types of introductions. We'll hear from Terrell Suggs in Arizona and also Anthony Barr. And this one's pretty unique, too. Remember, he's the guy, and I don't know that I've ever talked about a situation like this. Maybe it's happened before, but I'm not sure it's happened in a way that's gotten so much attention. He agreed to a deal with the Jets and then decided that he was going to stick with the Minnesota Vikings. And so that goes back to Monday. Now, it may seem like a snap decision to you and I. It may seem like it was super easy for him, except that if you put yourself in his shoes, if you think about maybe a time when you've had two job offers and you were torn, maybe one was better for your family, the other was more money. Maybe one had more room for growth and advancement, but the other one had coworkers that you really enjoyed. Maybe you had a better connection with the boss in one place, but in the other place, you felt like the benefits were better. I mean, these are all decisions that we make. Now, granted, they're talking about a lot more money than we are in the NFL for the most part, not always. I know a lot of you are Richie Riches and make great money at whatever you do. And so take the money out of it. They're all human beings, and they all have these same considerations. what's going to be best for me? If you're not a starter, where can I develop into a starter? If you are a starter, where do I feel like I have the best chance to win? I mean, all of these things go into the equation. So consider the angst that Barr is talking about as he was waffling over his decision to move to New York.
Monday, I thought Monday was going to be a fun day. Monday was one of the worst days, you know, my life, really. It was trying to figure everything out. I was on the phone all day with my agent, my mom, just going back and forth, calling friends, teammates. It was a crazy day, and I just followed my heart. You know, I did what I wanted to do at the end of the day, and I'm happy with it. And I feel so much better than I did, you know, 72 hours ago.
I can understand all of those emotions, and I would do the same thing. I'd talk to friends. I'd talk to coworkers. In fact, I've done this before in making choices about it. I did it about making the choice to leave my previous network and come to CBS. Talk to my mom over and over and over again. And certainly you wrestle with decisions like this because you want to make the best one for your future, but you can't see the future. So I appreciate and identify with Anthony's angst and anxiety because that just means he's human. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So we'll hear from Le'Veon Bell and Nick Foles and others in the NFL who are getting introduced with their new franchises. And a lot of you weighing in about the team that you would most like to see on Hard Knocks. There are only five options, at least according to the rules of HBO. Though I'm hearing from some of you who say it should be the Browns. Hard Knocks should bend the rules or ask them if they'd like to be part of it. But others of you are actually answering the question as I posed it, so that's great. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, and also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Before we get to the top of the hour, maybe many of you have already heard about what happened in New Zealand, but I wanted to mention it because it's something that we've gone through in our own country so many times. The feelings are so familiar, even hearing the news reports as I was driving into work. So a gunman... Right now, there are four people in custody, but a gunman, at least one, has been identified who opened fire on two different mosques in Christchurch. So this is a major city in New Zealand. And while we haven't heard a number of people dead, the word I heard to describe it was significant casualties. In addition to that, another potentially 50 people injured. And so this happened in the afternoon in New Zealand. And the part, I mean, that is brutal and terrible. And I've heard some of the eyewitness accounts. And this one man said he was running for his life. But he turned around and he sees people dropping to the ground. And as you can imagine, it's just a grim day. And again, we can identify as Americans because we've been through this, whether it's a church, whether it's a school, whether it's a place of business. It happens all too often. Something that caught my attention, though, because we were just talking about this and the way that people use social media. Do you know that one of the people involved in this dual shooting, these two mosques, was broadcasting it live on Facebook? I mean, I don't even know what to say to that. But people ask me all the time, why do you hate social media? It's because I can't stand how people use it. Yeah, the shooting was broadcast live on Facebook. And so now police have four people in custody, but the damage is already done. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.